everybody. It's wonderful that you can be here once again, listening to what ramblings I might even have, but maybe there's a little bit of nuggets of gold that God might place in your heart that you think, never thought of it like that. Or I need to go away and do some seeking, doing some praying to check out what struck you. Where does that all come from? It comes from a movie I watched during the week. We all watch movies. This one was different. This one, I don't know, there were some lines and some scenes in this movie that really struck me. And I actually stopped the movie and wrote the lines down because I wanted to go and think about it later. Have you ever done that? Maybe when you're reading a novel and you go, whoa, and it's something maybe the Holy Spirit's talking to you about. Because the Holy Spirit doesn't always come when we're in a prayer time. He will come when He wants to talk to us, when He wants desire to teach us something, to share with us, because it encompasses our whole life that He wants to live with us, be with us, share with us, and us with Him. Truly, if we really, truly are Christian, we want to have our whole life encompassing. So I'm watching this movie. The movie's called The Dig, and it's based on a true story in the 1930s, where an amateur archaeologist called Basil Brown, what a name, Basil Brown, but that's his real name, investigates these mounds on a property owned by a wealthy landowner, Edith Pretty. Again, what an unusual name. He used to call him, because in the movie they're calling her Mrs. Pretty, and she actually was very pretty. Anyway, it's in Suffolk, England, and Basil Brown, in his findings, they discover a ship from the Anglo-Saxon era with all these treasures. And if you love history, you would understand, you know, the joy that came from finding these things, which actually then taught about the Anglo-Saxon people and had, you know, artifacts and jewels and, you know, bowls and things that these archaeologists just raved about. That wasn't what struck me. It was a scene of Edith Pretty was a widow, and she had a son, Robert, who was probably about 12 years of age. And he used to follow Basil Brown around on this archaeology site. And he loved talking to him. He didn't have a dad. And he loved talking to him. And Mr. Brown was so gracious and would share with him. And he was an amateur astronomer himself. And he would talk to Robert about the cosmos and the universe and the stars. He took him under his wing. Anyway, there was a scene where Edith Pretty was not a well lady. Now, it doesn't tell you if she had TB or asthma or bronchitis, but there was definitely something happening with her lungs and her breathing. And there was one scene where she was coughing and spluttering and couldn't breathe very well at all. And Basil Brown happened to be there at the time. And he follows her into the bedroom to see, you know, can I call a doctor for you? Can I help you at all? And then you see Robert, her son, standing at the doorway, looking in at his mother, who tries to hide how unwell she is often to her son. And this face of grief, of breakdown on this little boy's face. And he just runs, and he runs out the door. And Mr. Brown goes and follows him out. And you see them, they're outside. And Robert is sobbing. Robert is so full of grief. And Basil goes, what's up? And he goes, I've failed. Because this little boy, before his dad died, had said to him, make sure you look after your mother. And it worried him so much that he'd failed to protect her from the sickness that she had. And, you know, in situations when, you know, your children have been upset about something over the years, sometimes as parents, what do we say? What do we do? We go, oh no, it's okay. It's all right. You know, you'll get over it. Or, you know, and we try and throw it off as if it's something they're just going through, something they're maturing in. You know, it's just an incident. Oh, but Basil Brown said something that struck me. He said to the little boy, we all fail. It's a reality of life. But it's okay because you've done the best you can and you still try to continue to do the best you can. And he didn't say that means then you haven't failed, but that's what I felt he was sharing with Robert. You have not failed. You've done the utmost best you can. He said, I fail every day. We can't succeed at everything. Oh, so true. Our humanity is flawed. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. We all have flaws. We're all not successful at everything we do, everything we want to do. It brings back the reality of who we are. Now, he's an archaeologist, and in the movie, the wall collapses on top of him. That's based on a true story. How much is the true story and how much the director or the producer has put into it, I don't fully know. But this wall collapses upon him, and as they dig Basil Brown out of this collapsed, you know, mound of soil, he comes up and he says, I come from this soil. I know this soil. And it made me think again, the frailty of humanity. What is it? Dust to dust? We come from dust, we're going back to dust. But near the end of the movie, there's this deep philosophical conversation between Mrs. Pretty and Basil Brown. In the car, after they've discovered this ship, and of course, you know, other archaeologists come onto the site to help them, and the British Museum want to get involved. Well, Mrs. Pretty decides to give all of it away to the British Museum. And she's in the car and she goes, what is the meaning of life? We die and we decay. We don't live on. And Basil states, ah, but we are part of something continuous. And again, I just felt, wow. They didn't explain that the continuous eternity is with God. But that's what I've got. You know, he was trying to say to Mrs. Pretty, who maybe hadn't been brought up with hope, with this eternal God, with this eternal love that's been offered to us. But we are all part of this continuous love of God, this continuous eternity with Him. He invites all of us. And then this whole concept of perseverance, but legacy. What are we passing on? Mrs. Pretty decided to give it to the British Museum because she wanted to pass on what they have discovered. Pass it on to the next generation. Pass the torch to others so it can live on and be shared with other generations. And again, it made me think, what am I passing on to the next generation? And my thoughts go to my God. I am frail. I do fall short of the glory of God because we all do. But God is my creator. God is my redeemer and saviour. We're all part of this continuous Christian family. Do we pass it on, or do we at least try to? This balance of hope and fear. Fear because I am frail, I can't do it. But I don't stay there because the hope is in Christ, the hope of the world. When you are facing tests of faith, it is a challenge. Even the strongest Christians find it hard to stay hopeful. That's why we need an army of Christian men and women around us to support us, to help us when we are maybe in the feeling of fear, when our thoughts do spiral down, when our life isn't going well. But when we have God in our life, when people re-point to Christ, refocus my mind, refocus my emotions, because often it's all emotional, I'm not doing well, things aren't happening. But if I can go back and look to Jesus. God knows my struggles. Hold on to him. 1 Peter 1:13 says, "Therefore prepare your minds for action. Discipline yourselves. Set all your hope on the grace that Jesus Christ will bring you when he is revealed." And he reveals himself every day to us if we just look for it, even in a movie. God to me revealed, what are you passing on, Rosemary? What is your legacy? What is your hope? Or do you struggle and think, I've failed, not doing well, can't do it? What hope do you live in? And in Colossians 1:27, Paul, sharing with the Colossians, says, "I became its servant according to God's commission that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery that has been hidden throughout the ages and generations, but has now been revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." So what was Paul saying? I have been commissioned, like many other people, many other followers of Christ, to share the hope of glory with you. I need to pass it on to the Gentiles, to the generations that will go before. That is what I have been entrusted to do. What have you been entrusted to do? And if you don't know, go seek it out. Go ask. Go find. Go start thinking, what am I passing on to my family and friends, but also the next generation, because they look, they watch, they notice, they see. What are we sharing with them? Why don't we pray about it? In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Dear Lord, I want my hope to be in you. Send me your grace that I maintain my vision towards you, that my mind and my thoughts are in action, focused on you. How can I be Christ in the world, who is the hope of glory? Lord, you are my strength, my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my help in time of trouble. Help me, help us to pass on what you design us to pass on. Equip us. Help us with other men and women to support what we need to do, and we can support what they need to do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.